bumps now? On there.
Okay, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, now I see the levels. Okay. Okay. We good.
Okay.
We good.
Let's start over.
Let's get to the cues. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Welcome to Cold Email with Basha and Olive. Episode 9, Making Rent in Non-Traditional Paths.
Making rent in non-traditional paths.
Boy, if we had some.
Oh boy.
Some rents and some non-traditional paths.
Oh my god. Well, we have.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of just talking about our paths, let's just answer questions that we've written for ourselves to elicit.
Yeah, we got a lot of good ones.
Yeah. Well, you'll hear about our paths, but maybe it'll be better than just us listing what we've done, which we just did on a first take, and it didn't go so well.
Yes. Yeah. It was fine, but I think this is a better idea.
It was fine. Okay. So I think ComD, Communications Design School, said you either have to be an editorial illustrator and be in the Times every day or week, or you can work at a graphic design firm, and you should probably, like, eventually want to work at Pentagram.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm exaggerating a little, but...
Yeah, I mean, for illustration, they were like, you can be an editorial illustrator or a children's book illustrator. Those are your options.
Right, and they said you can work at Pentagram or, like, a small studio. There's options.
Yeah, you can work at a big studio or a small studio. Your choice.
Yeah.
So many options.
But I think there's just so much more than that to the design and illustration world.
Yeah, the truth is there is so much more than that. Yeah, the truth is it's that it used to be a lot more narrow, but creative careers have really, really expanded and are continuing to expand still. And there's a lot that you can do with knowledge of design and illustration other than just straight up design and illustration.
Yeah, what's your weirdest job that you've worked outside the pantheon of...
Well,
yeah.
I had a couple weird Craigslist jobs. Like, do you want...
Yeah, say it. Well, those are gigs more that
you did. Yeah, I had a job... Weirdest...
You could say weirdest gig and weirdest job.
Yeah, weirdest job... Okay, so I worked at this after-school arts program the summer after I got out of college, and it started out pretty normal aside from the fact that it was 2 hours away from my house, and it was the only job I could find, so I took it, regardless of it being able to pay my rent, which it didn't. I think when even at my peak hours, it barely did. That sucked a lot. Had to do freelance, but that's not the point of this one. It was very strange. It was a chain after-school arts program, and they had set curriculums, and they had no prerequisites for any of the courses, so they had children from ages, 7 to 17, all in the same Photoshop class together, and that was incredibly difficult to teach, if not impossible to teach a 10-year-old who's never opened the program before to a kid that's applying to design school, literally, in my class. They had me teaching classes that I did not know how to use the programs, and I was like, hey, I don't know how to do that. They're like, it's fine, just look it up. Don't worry about it. And that ended poorly. I mean, it wasn't like a disaster, but it was certainly not fun, and I certainly felt bad for not being able to give the kids, a quality class because I wasn't qualified, and they told me to do it.
How did you,
Their curriculum was whack. It was really bad. In a lot of the classes, I ended up just kind of teaching the project, just taking the project and teaching it my own way, because they're really difficult or strange projects for the kids sometimes, and they just didn't have fun. It was a summer class, so it's like, these kids are not having fun with this, and they're not learning anything, so I'm kind of just gonna teach it my own way.
That was an Indeed job, right?
Yes, Indeed. That was an Indeed job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have the.
Yeah, also one where they hired me right at the interview. I'm going to say, in every experience I've had where they hire you right at the interview, it's probably going to be weird.
Wait, all of my weird job that I'm going to say, they also hired me right at the interview?
Yeah, they're weird.
Okay, here's mine. So I was an intern at a luxury restaurant group right after graduating, and then I kind of wanted to move on, but I wasn't really, as Olive said, after we graduated, it was really hard to find a job. I think that was kind of true for a lot of people, in a lot of people's experiences. Yeah. So I started thinking, like, oh, I have other skills. Like, I just spent 4 years, like, booking shows and running a radio station, and, like, I can write stuff sometimes. I was just like, I don't know, like, whatever. And Indeed jobs were making me so sad, so I was like, let me try something else. So I went on Craigslist, and I was like, I love signs. Like, what if I was a sign painter? And sure enough, a job popped up that was, like, looking for a beginner sign painter / graphic designer for, like, a design / sign painting studio. And that was my weird job. I was a sign painter for about a year.
Yeah. Tough times, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some really amazing things about it that made me...
Oh, yeah, you became a great sign... Like,
oh, thanks. I feel like I suck.
A skill. Through none of their teaching, but through your own, mostly.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel like I suck at sign painting, but it's fine. I'm working on it.
Yeah. You're good. You're better than you think you are. They're very elitist.
Yeah. I think... Something, like, super valuable I got from that job, other than, like, a bit of a lesson in how to sign paint, was that I don't think I can just, like, go into... I mean, I can just go into an office and, like, punch in the clock and, like, do the thing. But, like, that's not really what I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think yeah. that made me realize I need to, like, be doing weird and different stuff every day. And that's when I'm the happiest, is when I'm... like, solving weird and big problems and taking on challenges and going to paint walls and, or just, like, I don't know, I just can't look at an iMac for, like, 9 hours a day.
Yeah, I think I've learned that, too, through my different weird in-house positions, and if I can also add a good
Please.
Thing that I learned from my crazy teaching job is that kids are hard to handle, but a lot of them really do want to learn, and they, like, amaze me, some of the things that they can make. And yeah, even though it sucked otherwise, I like teaching, and I enjoy it a lot, and I learned a little bit how to handle a classroom, and I learned that when I started that, I knew absolutely nothing about how to handle a classroom. Now I know a little more.
There's good in the horrible
yeah.
jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, one kid gave me, like, a Beanie Baby.
Oh.
It was very sweet.
It's like, very sweet. That's very sweet. Let's actually talk about how we actually, like, made rent for
yeah.
the past 2 years. And spoiler alert, I'm not right now because I moved home. I guess I'll go first on this one. So right after graduating, I was a minimum wage intern. Design intern. Then at my next job as a sign painter, I was minimum wage for a few months, and then my wage was raised to $18 an hour, which, by the way, this is all, like, wage theft. Like, I did not do $15 an hour work, but whatever. In between, right after I quit the sign painting job, I was interviewing for other jobs and trying to full-time freelance, and then to pay the bills that way, I kind of have a continuing relationship with Babies All Right, so I would have that money every month, and then I took on a pre-production job at a different sign painting shop, which was a very sad job, but I did it to make my rent. Then the pandemic happened. Unemployment. I'm embarrassed to say it, but totally open. Like, I collect unemployment now.
There's no shame.
No.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
And I report when I work. It's all good. Like, don't
yeah.
think you just... No, none of you just caught
yeah.
me doing something wrong.
The IRS doesn't need to come after you.
Yeah, I think a
all
lot
your
of...
papers are in order.
Our papers are in order. Our taxes are in.
Submitted.
We filed it all. Oh, yeah. I think that a lot of this pandemic has been, like... I've been freaking out about not making, like, rent, even though I'm not living in an apartment that I pay for right now. I'm living at home.
Yeah.
Because I knew I would not be able to make rent, but I've been freaked out that I haven't been able to meet that, like, super consistently. Yeah, right now I take on jobs that are $60 or jobs that are thousands of dollars that come, like, months apart. It's a little confusing. How do you make rent, Olive?
Well, right now I work for a real estate agency full-time, also minimum wage. I barely make rent with, like, a little bit to buy groceries and for, you know, minimal spending each month. But I make it now, but I got this job, last summer. I've been working at it about a year. Found it on Craigslist. And that's my story.
Craigslist is so funny.
It's the most normal job I've found on Craigslist.
I know, there's some freak shit.
I, like, can't believe I found it on there.
I think I would like to take on weirder part-time jobs to make rent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so my plan.
What's your weirdest gig?
My weirdest.
We didn't talk about those. Oh. Yeah.
I'm gonna go through my files while you say yours,
yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, my weirdest one. I know this one right off the top of my head. Was last summer was another one that I a beauty that I found on Craigslist was to make like a mascot logo. Like the ad was like a cartoony like mascot logo for this like restaurant that specializes in, like, fried cheese sticks. So I missed it. I was like, okay, this sounds kind of funny. Like, why not? And I got the gig, and the restaurant name was a, like, I don't even know how I want to say this, like, a phallic reference? It was...
What was it called? The, like, Big
Willy's
Cheese?
Willy's Cheese Stick.
Stick.
Willy's Big Stick. Or Big Stick Willy's? I don't remember. Yeah. And that was very strange. And I did the job. I made a drawing that I kind of liked. It was like a headless horseman, like, with a cheese head. And I thought it was really funny. And it paid me decently, too. I was like, okay, this is my budget for it. And he was like, okay. I was like, cool, okay, I didn't think that would be that easy. And then I sent it to him, and they never used it. And then I went on their website a couple months ago,
kidding?
And they got, like, another drawing. Yeah, I'm like,
wait,
why
really?
Did you do that? Yeah, I'm like,
what the
that's
fuck?
So strange. I'm like, you paid me in full for that. And I gave you, like, a pretty damn good drawing, which was his idea in the beginning. But that was very strange.
I have to say, after working with restaurants, they just, like, your guy could have just left. Like, you never know.
Yeah.
Like, there's just so much, like,
I think
weird...
it was his restaurant, though. Like, he was, like,
you never
the
know. He could have sold it.
Like, it's true, yeah.
Or they were just, like, different direction. It's not about cheese anymore. Like, that was wrong.
It was
I see
still...
it's wrong now.
It was very, yeah, that was very strange.
Yeah. Okay, I think mine is actually two very recently ones that were very weird that I loved. For one, I went out and bought a birthday cake at a grocery store, like a sheet cake, and wrote someone's website on it in sugar letters. It actually came out pretty cool.
Oh, yes. I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, it's on my website now if you want to check it out. I think the other one is one I'm actually currently working on right now, which is that I'm art directing a set of a commercial for a Google Drive-like product, which came about because I emailed someone that I liked a TV show they made in 2017 about matchmaking that airs on the Mets channel when they have rain delays. I think that's my weirdest one.
Does it really only air on rain delays?
No, it airs sometimes.
Okay,
it's really good.
Like,
it's called Prospects.
Hilarious.
I definitely recommend.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's a lot of rain delays.
By the way, the cake looks sick.
Oh, thank you. I think in general, what I'm finding right now is that I'm gonna guess that we're making no money right now to make money later. Maybe that's being 24 in a pandemic.
Yes. We're also, In all of these is, yeah, in the pandemic, and also learning how to ask for money, too, I think.
And get clients.
I think we both learned a lot about that.
Yeah.
Past couple years.
And, like, staying true to your practice. I mean, this podcast has helped a lot, I've got to say.
Absolutely, yeah. Learning what you like and what you don't like. Because to bring around back, everybody follows a non-traditional path, really. You have a lot of different skills.
It's true.
And it's all about learning which ones you wanna have in your job.
I mean, it is okay if you follow a traditional path, but
absolutely.
It's not not... Wait, yeah. Sorry, double negative. It is okay if you don't follow a traditional path.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant like... they teach you, like, a traditional path is the only way.
And, right.
I don't know. I think everybody has...
some weirdness.
Everybody's got a story to tell about some weirdness in their jobs. It's never as... even if you have a traditional path, I feel like it's never as traditional as they lead you to believe it'll be. There's always some weirdness. It's a creative career. But yeah, every path is different, and every path is valid.
Yeah, and I think... generally think of your path as like, okay, I went from this job to this job. Like when we did the first take of this, we just said, oh, I went from this job to this job to this job, and like this is what I thought.
Yeah, but it's like the chain of events that led to each different one is like a whole rabbit hole.
Right, but I think that there's a million things that come with your path. Like I think it's just more holistic than it seems.
Yeah, it's not just like, oh, I got this job from this. It's not like, it's not that straightforward, you know? It's like in jumping from job to job, it's like, well, there was a path just from point B to point C, like...
What do you mean?
Along that path. Like, you know how when you, like, zoom out on a map and, mm-hmm. like, a river looks, mm-hmm. like, smoother than it, like, actually is? And then you zoom in and you're like, oh my god, that's, like, crazy. It's actually going everywhere. I feel like that's what the career path looks like. Because we can sit here and list all of our jobs that we did, and it'll look linear, but when you zoom in, it was not at all.
That's really good. I was actually saying something so different, which was...
Oh, please.
Oh, no. I mean, that is very useful, I think. Useful advice. I think I was going to say, because I'm looking through it at a lens of, like, I'm home right now, and, like, part of my path was moving home so I could afford to, like, freelance at my own pace and kind of start putting, like, a business together, like, a practice. So I guess I was more saying for me, like, part of... the path is, like, about where I live, you know? Like, the path for me meant moving home. And I feel like also the path for me meant, like, it honestly meant leaving some relationships in the past. Like, I weirdly don't think I would be where I am in my practice without letting go of some things I needed to let go of. And some of those were, like, a lot of them were friendships.
Yeah,
is that crazy?
Too. I completely agree. No, it's, I mean, no one part of your life is completely, like, separate from the other. Like, everything affects everything, and, like, personal relationships in your personal life affects your career path. Especially in creative, it affects, like, what you make and how you make it and where you make it and with who. Yeah, it affects all of it.
Which, honestly, is... weirdly why I'm okay with, like, not making any money right now.
Yeah,
you know, like, I mean, I make a little money, it's enough, kind of, not to live on, not that I could live on my own on this money, but, you know, I think the thing for me that gets me through the day, well, also because I'm doing what I love, that really gets me through the day, but there's two things, I guess. Number one is that I'm, like, kind of forming what my life is going to be post pandemic / moving back. So I feel like I'm laying down groundwork and, like, volunteering my own time to myself and, like, being generous with my time on certain things. And I guess, you know what, I guess that's the whole point. It's that I'm like shaping what I want my future to be now. So I'm okay with like not earning money now if it means doing this will help me like be successful in the future. But it's just hard to feel like I'm not failing all the time without external validation. Yeah, yeah, no.
You're not failing. Thanks. You're doing good. You're carving out that path.
It's kind of hard to convince yourself, no?
It is. Absolutely, yeah. I'm like, I'm stagnant.
Freelance is pretty sparse at this moment, I think, for everyone. A lot of people.
Yeah.
It's just the world. We're in a weird time.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Yeah.
So how do you convince yourself you're not failing? We might have talked about this once, but I think it bears repeating.
I talk to you, and I'm like, Basham. Yeah, I'm like, Basham, am I failing? And you're like, no. And then you're like, Olive, am I failing? And I'm like, no. And we're like, cool. good.
So listen to Cold Email when you feel like you're failing, because we'll always tell you you're not.
And we'll tell you you're not.
Because you're not.
Because you're not. Yeah.
You're so not.
The only way you can fail is if you stop trying, says Greg Klitzel.
Be undeniable, says Greg.
Be undeniable.
And,
think of both those things every day.
Yeah, I feel like Vinny said something good, but now I can't remember. They've all said good stuff about this. Listen to Cold Email when you're feeling down. Which I actually, if I'm feeling down and I edit an episode of Cold Email, I'm like, okay, yes. Like, okay. Like, this is helping.
Good.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
We're doing it.
We are.
Helping ourselves, helping others, hopefully.
Yeah. I think maybe it also helps to get, like, validation for smaller things. Like, there have been definitely times where I haven't had freelance, but, like, the new episode of Cold Email did super well, like, on Instagram, and, like, our plays went super high, and I'm like, wow, I feel so validated. So
yeah,
maybe,
like, wow, we're doing cool.
Right. If you can't control your workflow at this moment, maybe try to assert control of your over, whatever. Maybe try to do something you can control, like Cold Email, which actually did start because we were like, we're mad bored. And like, also we had been talking about these conversations, how they could maybe help people, but we were just like bored and didn't have freelance.
Yeah, we were like, hey, you want to start a podcast? Yeah, you actually asked me and I was like, yeah. And we were like, okay, let's do it, let's write some stuff right now.
Now I feel like we have a rhythm, and it definitely, I think, a, like, serves as validation for both of us. I think, like, people like it, so that's cool.
Yeah, like, I've had a couple, like, people from, like, school, like, and, like, random people who I don't know either.
Yeah.
Like, I think you and I both have had people, like, message us and be like, hey, we like the podcast. And it's like, oh my god, wow. Like, thank you. Like, I'm so glad, like, that people, like, feel the same way, you know, and can find something in this. It really warms me heart.
Yeah, for me, when I'm hurling through space, like, I don't have any clients, everyone hates me, like, I'm never gonna work in this town or any town again, like, I should become a realtor, even though, yeah, anyways, when I'm hurtling through space like that, I kind of just throw myself into Cold Email. I know that's a luxury, and the fact that I'm not paying for rent is a luxury, but I think that's my path right now. I'm thankful for it.
Yeah.
And I hope that, you know, I hope that this was never the goal, but I think it'll help us out more than we know, Cold Email.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we just started it with no expectations, just a plan.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you told me the other day there are a couple things you said when you're failing that you do. Can I say them?
Yes.
And you can be like, yeah,
I already forget them. I'm like, what do I do?
You said, like, think of other things you've done. Like, oh, I went grocery shopping today and that was great. Think of where you've come from. Like, remember I drew that in high school? Like, I can draw really good now.
Yes, yeah. Non-work accomplishments. Yeah, non-work accomplishments and also work accomplishments. Yeah.
Yeah. You said basically think of the positives.
Yeah, work and non-work accomplishments.
Maybe it's worth keeping a list.
Yeah. Keep yourself a list. If you don't have a list, just go on, if you have a portable hard drive, go look at all the work you've made. it'll make you proud of yourself.
Why does it have to be a portable hard drive?
Oh, that's just what I have. Sorry. Look at your hard drive. Okay. If you have the luxury of having all your files on my computer. Sorry, I have a computer with 100 gigabytes and I'm like in my own world with that. Go look at your projects folder and look at all the stuff you've done and be proud of yourself because you've made a lot of work and you've come a long way.
You ever feel like when someone's talking to us and they're saying like thinly veiled things that are about the industry, but it's actually about them? Like you just did that too. But I'm sure I do too.
I'm like, oh, that was so literal. Yeah. Like I'm looking at my portable hard drive right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. Sometimes I look at my website. I think Alex Citrin said this. She like went and like read through her awards when she was feeling really down. Granted, not all of us have awards, but like I looked at my website client list and I was like, damn, pretty okay.
Yeah, just like take a step back and smell the roses or whatever they say, smell the flowers, see what you've done.
Yeah, also Olive, I feel like sometimes we're trying to do the work of 30-year-olds and we're like 34-year-olds. And we're 24.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm 24, I can only do so much.
Yeah, it's not bad to have goals. And, like, don't use excuses like, I'm only 24. But sometimes I'm just like, okay, like, these people do have 10 years more experience than us. Like, in that meeting I was telling you about, I was feeling weird about, everyone was 34. I was like, I feel like a baby.
Yeah, trust your gut on that one. If you feel like you're doing too much work for, like, what you do, or if you feel like you're, trust your gut on that one. It can go either way.
But also, if you're 34 and you don't feel, like, good about where you are, that's fine, too. I don't know if we ever will, or anyone. Yeah. I mean, that was, again, thinly veiled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean that, like, no. Gerard Way even says, I don't know if I've ever made it.
Yeah, but I think having a list of your accomplishments or way of remembering them in some way or another on paper or digitally, I think that helps a lot.
Get yourself a visual, whatever kind of visual you got.
Yeah. Oh, you said something else.
What did I say? Take a walk.
Well, you did. Take a walk is a good one. Yet another gem of all of advice. You said, I'm succeeding in other ways too. Like, yes. I got groceries, I cleaned the apartment, I saw my friend, yes. I made it to Manhattan on the subway, didn't get lost, etc. Yeah.
Non-professional accomplishments are just as good accomplishments.
Yeah, so you said, I'm succeeding in other ways too, so I will succeed at this. Which I was like,
oh, wow, I said that, damn. Really? Wow.
I know, you're freaking smart. Good one.
Thanks, wow. I guess I am good. Wow.
I guess the last thing I'll say before we talk to our guest, Jamie, is that, like, I think sometimes, I mean, budgeting is important and planning is important, but there's, like, a point at which it stops being useful.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's all just a visual. It helps you understand it, but it can't help you, you know, it can only help you to a point.
So it's not the truth. Yeah. Yeah, I was freaking out because I was budgeting things and I was like, I can't make it work as a freelancer, these numbers. And then I was like, wait, there's like 50 things I haven't thought about. I need to put this down and make my work. Again, a luxury. But like, I think do what you gotta to put everything down and make your work. All the bad thoughts, all everything.
Yeah, cut yourself some slack. You make good work.
Yeah, cut yourself some slack. As I said one time, I'm trying to do this new thing called cutting myself some slack. I think I have to remember that.
Yeah, that's the toughest one. Well, one of the toughest things, I think.
Yeah.
We're programmed to be hard on ourselves. Sometimes you just gotta say no, stop.
Let's take a pledge right now, you, me, and everyone listening to this.
Dear listener.
Let's be a little less hard on ourselves.
Yes. I think that's a good place to start.
Sounds good. Next. Let's talk to Jamie, who will help us maybe be a little less hard on ourselves. Who will offer some wonderful insight into alternative design and illustration paths.
But first, a word from our sponsors.
Thanks, Olive. I'll take it from here. Thanks, Olive. Thanks for handing it over, Olive.
We're on our SNY
sponsor
now.
Today. Don't kid. Okay. The name of our sponsor today is Pizza Cat. It is a podcast and a magazine. Pizza Cat started as an idea for a podcast to bring friends together to see other friends play shows. What it became is a place for friends to work together. So yeah, there are some moving parts. Podcast, zine, videography, writing. We stopped trying to define it and just kept building it. We hope you enjoy. Listen to Pizza Cat wherever you get your podcasts. Here, I'm ad-libbing for a sec. This is like a really great project by Alex Da Silva and Kelly Garrett. They just released their first zine issue. I was actually in it doing some editorial illustration. Thanks to Kelly for asking me to do that. Thanks to AD Kelly of Pizza Cat for asking me to be on this project. I have to post that soon. But yeah, it's very cool. They're always looking for creatives that might want to contribute. Check them out on Instagram at PizzaCatPod if interested. That's PizzaCatPod.
You heard it here, folks. Check out Pizza Cat Podcast.
Part 2, the interview with Jamie Sloth Noth.
Jamie Noth is an illustrator and musician living in Brooklyn, New York. Jamie works primarily in the music industry for bands like Another Michael, Annie Blackman, Longbeard, Howdy, Clara Joy, and Fire is Motion, as well as graphics for synth company Critter and Guitari. Her website is jamienoth.com. That's JAIMEKNOTH.com. And Instagram at Dr. Sloth. That's DR SLOTHHH. That's three H's.
Hey, Jamie.
Hi. Welcome.
Thanks for coming on. A good like little description of this episode is that it's about like just you know, going to school for art or whatever and like not really having a traditional path. Like, you know, Comedy was like, be an editorial illustrator, like work at Pentagram. And I think none of us three do that.
So no.
I think part of it's about coming out of art school and like not doing that thing. And then like, I don't think it's specific to art school either, though. I think you can not go to art school and still have like a weird career path and do weird and cool things.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my freshman or sophomore year of college learning about communications majors and being like, what the hell is that? And I think that is probably what I would have been at any other college if I had gone, because there just seems like a lot of things that you can go with that, which I think is possible for, as you were saying, like every other type of degree that you can get, probably in line with some sort of humanity. But yeah, I mean, an illustration department that like I think was very editorial focused, because in the years past it had responded to a lot of demand for tutorial around editorial, and also like weird that, you know, in the class of 2018 and then the class of 2019, those two classes kind of getting the brunt of like a transition away from that, which I guess the really short version of that story is that Comedy department at Pratt was one way for a long time, that I entered the school in 2014 expecting, and by 2018 there was like a whole new program director and they had different ideas for what the department was going to look like in the years like following. So did not get any of the things that I was quote unquote promised as a ripe 19-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like we should also full disclosure here. We went to Pratt with Jamie, obviously, if you didn't catch that. And we were all in the communications design school. Alvin, Jamie were in illustration. I was in graphic design. But yeah, I just in terms of it changing over, it definitely felt like it was like a pretty antiquated curriculum. I mean, like
for
I
sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was like being yeah. editorial illustrator. You like,
I mean, even
suck.
Yeah. Even the beginning of our schooling felt really antiquated. Like I kind of had this thought. Like I think it frustrated me when we were not like freshmen anymore. That like the freshmen, by the time I was a junior, didn't have to take their foundation year. Like they got to sort of enter their major like way sooner, and that like annoyed me. But I just think like I definitely feel like the foundation year is not necessary anymore. Like you have so many artistic opportunities pre-art school now that like you don't need the foundation to like get everyone up to speed typically. Which I kind of was thinking about because I was thinking about how younger people in baseball are really good at baseball. Like compared to like maybe what 10 years ago looked like. What with like mathematicians now being involved in baseball, but that anecdote is really for Basha more than anyone.
I know. I'm like, oh, shout out baseball. I like my eye opened wide, and I was like, really? We're talking about it now?
And the Olympics too, I think. Anyway, I don't mean to digress.
Oh, that's okay. This is all about digression. Would you say you have an alternative career path?
I mean,
interpret this question as you may.
I would say maybe. I think that I am most comfortable with letting things turn out however they're going to turn out. Like, I'll kind of do anything. I'm not always looking for like a very specific job and like have my heart set on it. Otherwise, I think I would be pursuing like editorial illustration because that was what my education heavily prepared me for, like to an unhealthy point, to the point where like if I don't have work, I'm like more stressed. Or like if I'm not working on something personal or otherwise, I'm just stressed because I'm actually just addicted to working a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean I feel like that's kind of funny because I'm not a super visible person. Like I'm not constantly posting things on Instagram. I don't really participate in Twitter at all. I additionally write and record music, but I'm also not like constantly releasing stuff. So it is this like, it feels like this dissonance between like all the work that I'm doing and like actually outputting, but it's just like a waterfall falling into like a small pool or something. But yeah, alternative career path, and that I never really had like a clear idea of what I wanted to do anyway. And I'm not kicking myself for leaving school not having figured that out yet.
I guess it's like in a way it's like important to have goals.
Yeah.
I say that as like someone who writes down goals and stuff, but I think I'm also learning it's like maybe also very important to like be someone with goals that maybe can forget about them for a little, or let the stream take you, you know, the river.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's really hard about, you know, I think that there are people my age, our age, who do kind of have like a clear career path that they're working towards right now. And like, it's definitely super, super hard to not compare yourself to them, because you're like, oh, they like have it so good. Like they know exactly what they want to do and they've got it. And like, they're just going to keep doing that. But I think even for those people, a career is going to be a series of small goals, no matter what you choose to do. And all of those goals, like, could be the same ones, I guess. Like, you can imagine that maybe in an editorial position, you're looking to snowball like publications and names and stuff like that, like over the course of your quote unquote career. But like, I think I have a path where I have a lot of goals that I want to accomplish, and the only thing that overlaps between them is myself, not like one necessarily leading to another. And I think that just comes with the territory of like loving to draw and being really happy to work with people on album covers or illustrations for websites and posters and t-shirts, and also being a musician and writing music and looking to work with people on music, mine and theirs. So it's just a series of small goals, and I think that's really healthy.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because like when you, a lot of times, like when you set like a big goal and you're like, I want to do this, it's like, it's, paths are never linear. So it's like setting smaller goals helps you put less pressure on yourself to like get to that big goal. It's like, okay, like I don't need to worry about the big one. I mean, I have it in my mind, but like the smaller ones are like what matter the most. It's the path that gets you there. Or what's it that Hannah Montana says? It's the climb.
Oh my God. Dude, she hits that note so good. Yeah. It's like ringing in my head.
Okay, I don't know if you guys feel this way, but I find myself like, you know, when you just find you're like, oh fuck, like I'm being jealous.
Yes.
And it's always for me, like people who are, it's always you, people who are 33, like not 32. It's
very specific, Basha.
I know.
It's like that's like rules of 11, which is freaky.
Okay, maybe they're also like 30, 31, and 32.
But so they're 30?
Yeah, they're early 30s. A lot of them seem to be 33. That's like the magic number for me. And I feel like it's because I'm like, whoa, like you just like have a couple years more skin in the game than me. But yeah, I just think it's like, sometimes it can be even like discouraging to see someone who's like done so much just because of the time they've had to do stuff. And like, yeah, you know, they've met people, they've worked on cool projects, and like, I can start to like spiral and be like, I will never get there. Like, I'm so behind. And then I have to be like, this person yet again is 33. Like, I am not 33. I am 9 years behind them. Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost a years. Decade. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like a decade of just like chilling. It's a decade of like straight up like working.
Yeah.
And ups and having ups of that, and also like probably downs that you just don't know about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is,
that's also the misleading thing about like Instagram and stuff. It's like, it's become like some, like someone's professional portfolio almost. So it's like, you don't see their whole journey on it. You just see their wins.
No, I can't even touch in like upon Instagram. Like, yeah, I just,
there's a lot to unpack with that one.
Yeah. I kind of like, God, maybe this is tea, but I kind of just like hold issue with like the like illustrator influencer who like has like their hands in like every single social media platform and like is making products with like their illustrations all over it, and it's like just like super flat cartoony pastel colored cats or something. It's like that meme, that like Instagram meme where it's like the bingo board and then it's like Instagram like imagery trends, like the butterflies and like the checkered boards and the color blue or something like that, but in just like a fully functioning brand. And it's like, it's cool because I think it's awesome seeing people doing and providing for themselves on their own terms. But there's something about it that just bugs me. And maybe it's just because of taste, because I think the work is really boring. I don't know. But I wish that, I mean, maybe it's also that jealousy thing where I'm like, wow, if I just like had every single app, like social media platform, and I like posted the same type of imagery like every day, maybe I would have like 134,000 followers on Instagram and the Patreon where I make like $4,000 a month.
Oh, I feel that. Yeah. I think a lot, like one thing that I think a lot about when I have that thought is I'm like, did Pratt make me this way? Like, cause I feel like they really hammered out in me, which is something that I'm trying to resolve in myself, that like a drawing needs to be super complex and have a lot of thought into it, that it's like actually stopped me from making work because I'm like, it needs to be like a whole thing. And I think that's like what I see sometimes when I like see, like, you know, like the pastel cats or whatever, like hearts and things, influencer illustrations. I'm like, am I just like projecting that onto them, that like work needs to be super complex to be good? And am I jealous?
I want to.
Yeah.
Let me complicate things here a little, because I think like the comprehensive education we were so lucky to have, I think, was so focused on making like super, super considered and thoughtful work that like means something. And yeah, like not to be a dick, like it's cool that people can like make their world like just kind of doing the same thing every day. But it's like, it's not like thoughtful per se.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it's like, there's it a seems. Line. Yeah. It yeah. seems yeah. to like lack the thoughtfulness that we were just like injected.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's like, there needs to be a lot. It's like the work needs to be thoughtful, but like not so much that it like stops you from making work, but.
No,
yeah,
and
thoughtfulness.
I think that there is just so there. I mean, I feel like there's not much farther that we could go with this part, because I think it has a lot to do with like aesthetics and like, I don't know, like it could really go so many different ways, but I in a way feel like, no matter how much I complain about Pratt, I'm also appreciative of it in its own ways. But I think like the people that I was around, like we all just really valued like something looking nice as much as it having like some sort of emotion behind it. Because I was definitely in crits when I was like, it doesn't really like there is a fine line between somebody doing something simple and intentionally and somebody doing something intentionally like quirky or like, I don't know. It's, I haven't thought about this stuff in so long, honestly.
Like, when you said crits, I was like, whoa, I haven't said that word in 2 years. Yeah. Like, straight up.
Yeah, I think, like, yeah, it's just interesting to think about that putting all of your time and a lot of work into something is not always going to result in, like, a really thoughtful piece or whatever. I don't know. But I guess another frustration around illustration, those rhyme, is just the sort of like, what is it? Arbitrary like standardization of it, and how like you can see different trends super easily, especially with the presence of social media. And I kind of had this thought that maybe I have like this push and pull like relationship with pursuing some editorial work, because it kind of feels like a standardized test where I'm like doing homework and studying like by getting closer to a style and like studying up on names and emails. And then like the actual test is like getting the assignment and getting it to print like as soon as possible, like sometimes in, you know, 3 hours. And I'm just like, wait, like maybe, like I literally barely got an 1800 on the 2400 SAT. So like, maybe I don't want that.
That's a really good analogy.
That 1800 cost a lot of money. Like, I'm just going to say that. Like, I needed help to get that. It's not, I mean, it's average, but I was like, not an average student. So, you know, at least my mom will attest to that. So,
yeah, that's a great analogy for it. Like, the standardized, it feels a little bit like that sometimes. I will agree.
Here's a real linear one. Do you want to just talk about your career path upon graduating a little?
Oh.
Just like give me the general, give us the listeners of Cold Email.
Well, since graduating, I have very consistently had part-time work of all kinds. Receptionist at a hair salon, bookseller at the Mama PS1 bookstore. I was like a touring bassist for a little bit, and you know, my one corporate stint was a remote illustration job, and eventually I was somehow asked to interview to work at a small synthesizer company called Critter and Guitari, and that's what I do primarily now, alongside occasional freelance work, mainly with musicians and bands and labels. None of those were goals, small goals, by the way.
Oh, well.
On my career path.
Do you remember your small goals? / want to share any?
I think the one that I still think about a lot, because it hasn't come true yet, is like, I really would love to have an editorial assignment for like the New York Times or anyone really. Because I want to know what it's like to be under, you know, what feels like the guillotine or something. But I feel like I've always had a healthier relationship with setting goals in regards to like my music, because all throughout college I was like also performing locally and continuously writing music. It helped a lot that I was so involved in the Pratt radio station too. So I feel like I've always had a much healthier relationship with setting goals for that. So it definitely feels like I've accomplished some goals there with like a few music releases, and being a touring bassist with some of my best friends was really, really cool. Albeit very, very tiring at times. So illustration goals beyond just like wanting to do something editorial assignment based, like that's kind of it. But I feel super, super lucky to have gotten the opportunities that I have had thus far.
Yeah, do you feel like maybe your part-time work has allowed you to, like, I don't know, feel a little more free about, like, making visual art? Because not, like, your income wasn't always completely tied to making visual art.
Yeah, definitely. It's not overrated to make rent and pay your bills like very consistently. And I never really understood how somebody could just be like, all right, I'm cutting everything out, like, and I'm just going to pursue this one thing. Like, I think in a lot of ways, maybe that's like internalized like scarcity. But I also think that it's really important, especially after you graduate college, if you're not already working in college, and I was, like, to just fully feel independent. Like, and I don't think I could like ever handle having to rely on my ability to draw, like, to sustain my livelihood and like also be happy to draw still. Like, I didn't really, it ended up being like a really cool and well-paying job when I was like a remote illustrator on like a big team for this company, but it was right before COVID, so I really didn't know it was coming. But I was really miserable, like, doing mechanical illustration work for money. The money didn't really make it more enjoyable.
Yeah, I can attest to, like, doing, yeah, any, I don't know, I think art and just, like, illustrating and designing as like a technical, like mechanical skill is so much different than like making work. And it's like something that I kind of do for my job is like I do like technical drawings and like just like designing for like the company. So it's just like a little, it's like technical. It's not really like me all the time, but it can be a little draining, definitely. It's, yeah, it feels kind of like, not to bring back Pratt, but it feels like that foundation year sometimes where it's like, okay, I'm painting squares. I can do it really well now that I've done it a million times, but I'm not happy about it. It can make me a couple bucks, but ain't the most interesting thing in the world.
It's been like nice that this interview has just been so free flowing. It goes with our episode, A Meandering River, if you will. If you had to take a guess, and you can answer this in like a tomorrow like way, or you can answer this in a 10 years way, but where do you think your path leads at the moment, if you even like to think about that? like where you think you're headed.
I think I'm probably headed in a like more musical direction than illustration. And I don't know if that's my 10-year plan, but I will say that especially within the last year, my interests in developing my production skills and potentially working in like sound design or even animation have like really blossomed. Not that you'll find me actually making any animation work right now. But you know, I think that the like the world is changing a lot. And I think I'm not gonna hedge my bets on like illustration and print kind of beyond like, I don't know, like, you know, I've done a few record covers and it's really cool seeing those like physically. And there's a lot of publications that want you to do digital animations for them, for their websites and things. So I guess I'll be more tech-based in 10 years. Whoop-de-doo.
Animation is the future.
iPhone 12.
I mean, I feel like it's kind of been going in that direction for quite some time now. Like, I definitely feel like we were all recognizing that when we were in school too. And I just kind of like wasn't that interested in it then, but I've always been interested in animation and stuff like that. I just kind of always thought like, I don't want to go to school for that because I don't really want to do that. Until I realized how many people are actually involved in making animations happen and like how many different roles there are. But I think that I'm looking forward to like changing things up and taking some steps towards something that maybe will like present more obvious like small goals for me as it relates to my visual art goal making. There's only so many bands that I can be like, I would love to make a cover for this one and this one and this one, like that I can actually maybe do. So I don't know.
What are your measures of success?
What are my measures of success? I don't know. I feel like I ask myself that question every day. Like I only know the answer to that question in juxtaposition to like having to talk myself down from the ledge of like comparing my list of accomplishments to one person's Instagram post that I just saw 30 minutes ago or something, you know? So I feel like, God, I don't have like a solid answer for that.
I think that's totally fine.
Yeah. What's your measure for today?
Why don't you answer all of
me?
What's your measure of success?
My measure of success for today.
Oh, you do day to day.
Oh, I'm just going like from day to day, but typically my measure of success is like, I don't know, like project to project. Like, am I happy with how it turned out in the end? Like, how did my process go when I did it? I'm like, was that like a good process? Like, did I like doing that? Did it run smoothly? Yeah. I mean, there's also a lot of talking myself back to the ledge from comparing myself to others and their successes versus mine, which I should not do, but
yeah, maybe in a way I would say that my measure of success is how quickly I can talk myself down from the ledge.
Like, good one.
Like when I actively feel like I did not spend like even 5 seconds like peering over said ledge, I feel like that's a massive accomplishment. But I think that there's always success in having learned something. And I definitely feel like at 25 years old, like I am probably not really qualified to give people many solid, wise anecdotes because there is not a lot of life that I have lived quite yet. But I will say that some of my favorite feelings are when I feel like I've learned something, like I've started to feel a lesson that I didn't realize I was needing to learn. And that could be as simple as getting a drawing sketched out super quickly, thinking about an idea when I'm like on a walk that I had to go take because I was feeling really sad all day, like going to the art store and only buying the thing I need. Like, I think that intrinsically, my creative life, visually, musically, whatever, is intertwined with just how I live my life and perceive my experiences, that when I actually go out and live it, and that might mean that I'm not actually spending time writing music for like 4 months or not drawing for a year after graduating college, it just means that I have, like, whenever I get to the end of that tunnel, like, I'll have a lot to work with, and I'll know when I start to see it, I guess. Small goal accomplishments are also cool too. Monthly basis. Sometimes I have to write myself like daily schedules by the hour, which I think I showed Basha once. And so she probably yes, knows how crazy those get.
I was feeling really sad, and Jamie said to do, like, I was just like, I don't have work. Total, like, depth of the pandemic. I was just like, I have nothing to do. I'm like, this is weird. I'm sad. Jamie's like, hour by hour, just do it. And I did, and it helped. And now I'm like a fiend for Google Calendaring the whole day. And it makes me feel really much better.
The checklists, man. Having a visual for, like, what you're doing is so helpful.
Yeah, I find the best thing for me is to always, like, okay, not always. I definitely haven't been keeping a planner or an hourly plan for the last few months because there's been a lot of crazy stuff happening, which you would think maybe that's the time to do it, but no, not this time. I like to do it like the night before so that if there's a night where it feels like there's too much to do the next day, I like know that there's enough time because I've set myself like a very kind of like non-committal hourly schedule.
I think that's very smart and very sweet. Yeah. And I just want to say I really liked your answer before. I thought it was heartwarming. And just before we go, I wanted to add my like small measure of success.
Please.
Which came out in a meeting today where I was being told like the project might be killed. They were like, oh, like, we were just like at the end of it, and I was just like, hey guys, don't worry. It's about the friends we made on the way and the kill fee, but whatever. Ignore that part. It kind of is about the friends we made along the way. That's like my today measure of success. Even though the project was killed, made some friends along the way, and that meant the world.
Definitely. I think relationships of all kinds are not to be taken for granted.
No,
ever.
Indeed. No. Jamie, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me on Cold Email.
Oh, this ruled.
Yeah. Thank you. This has been yet another Cold Email podcast. I'm Olive.
And I'm Basha.
And thanks for listening. Tune in 2 weeks for the next one.
We'll see you next time. Oh, that's good. Thanks. Okay. Good
cool. one. I'm pausing.
Cold Email is a very professional podcast about being early career creatives and all the trials, tribulations, and good times that come with it. Recorded, written, and performed by Basha Kurlander and Olive Lagaze. Edited by Basha Kurlander. Follow us on Instagram at cold.email and check out our website, cold-email.tumblr.com. Email us at coldemail1000@gmail.com with any questions you want us to answer on the show, suggestions for future themes, or to inquire about guest starring in an episode. Music by Basha Kurlander aka Marbly. As always, thanks for listening.
Should I ask a question from the list, or should we just go off still?
I don't know.
Ask me a question, baby.
What do we got for you?
Another Zoom phone call that isn't recorded.
For another time, yeah. Okay, so what did we want to start with?
You've honestly caught me at, like, a very spirally moment, so...
That's always how it is.
You know, like, it's not...
I'm always spiraling.
Zoom meetings always catch you, man. No matter what kind of Zoom meeting it is. And then
And then you have to look at yourself. That sucks.
Yeah, I'm literally, like, so sweaty.
Here, we'll just...
Yeah. What is the structure of this? Do we, like, chat for a second before...
Yeah, maybe. Okay. It depends on the person. Like,
maybe that's permanent, what I just said.
Yeah, usually we do. Well, like, honestly, like, nice car. it honestly meant...
It's gonna be honking. Yeah, it's like you gotta... Yeah. Oh my god, this fucking car is beeped literally for 5 seconds straight. Oh my god.
They're mad.
They're so mad. Yeah, oh, it's 4. Oh my god. They're going away. Stop that. Ugh.
Oh, you know what I think I'm gonna do to make money